Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster Official Podcast, Episode 2. Ed Gamble here. We're going to be covering Taskmaster Series 10. If you've not listened to last week's episode, go and listen to that one. Give you a vibe of what I'm doing here, what I'm trying to do, at least. We will be going through the most recent episode of Taskmaster Series 10. That's Episode 2, which you would have seen on Channel 4. Thursdays at 9 p.m, that's when the show's on. If, by some weird reason, you have not seen the show, go back and watch the show before you listen to this. I would highly recommend that. Otherwise, this podcast will be a spoiler and also not make any sense to you. So go back, watch the show, then come and listen to the podcast. It's sort of a companion piece. You can't have this podcast without the show. Thursdays at 9 p.m, that's when Taskmaster is on. So the general vibe of this is we're going to be chatting to a special guest each week, going through what happened on the show and having a little bit of a giggle along the way. And this week's guest, very excited to say, is Nish Kumar. Nish was on Series 5 of Taskmaster. He is a wonderful comedian outside of the Taskmaster cinematic universe. He hosts The MASH Report. He hosts Hello America on Quibi. He is a wonderful stand-up comedian. We are very excited that Nish said yes, he loved his time on Taskmaster. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing what he misses about it, what he loved about it, and what he's loving about this series in particular, because he's a fan of the show as well. So like I say, go back, watch the show, then listen to this. The show is on Thursdays, 9 p.m, Channel 4. But if you have little children, or you just don't like swearing and you don't like bums and all of that sort of rude stuff, there is a family-friendly version of the show, which is being broadcast on E4 every Sunday at 6 p.m. So if you don't want your little kids to be seeing all the naughty stuff that's going on there, I mean, it's not too naughty. The show's not, it's not like super rude, but there are a couple of little bits that you think, oh, maybe the kids shouldn't be seeing this. Pop on E4, 6 o'clock. Check it out there. But without further ado, let's crack on. Let's get into the meat of it. And let's welcome our very special guest, Nish Kumar. They say save the best for second. It's an honoured position. Of course, we had the Taskmaster's assistant in Episode 1, Alex Horn. But when they said, who do you want to be on Episode 2? I knew straight away it's got to be Nish Kumar, star of Series 5. I'm going to call you the star of Series 5, Nish, because as of yet, we haven't booked anyone else from Series 5.
The GOAT. The GOAT of Series 5.
The GOAT of Series 5. And for anyone listening, GOAT is an acronym used by the kids, which stands for Greatest of All Time. But when we call Nish the GOAT of Series 5, we mean he was the worst player and a natural GOAT. Nish, you must have, you know, you've agreed to do this. So you must have fond memories of doing Taskmaster.
I have many fond memories of doing Taskmaster, Ed. None of them really... you know, to do with the success of doing the tasks. But I've always seen success. I'm measuring it on different metrics. Did I bring joy to people? Yes. Did I bring light into their otherwise meaningless lives? Yes. Did I win any of it? No. I've just got a more holistic... You've got to stop applying your Western monotheistic philosophies and notions of success to how I did in Taskmaster.
So straight away there with that answer, Nish, you've managed to alienate people by calling their lives meaningless and and also somehow managed to attack the West. This is... What a start from Nish. This is why you book Nish Kumar. Do you have any specific memories that you hold dear from your season of Taskmaster? It was an amazing lineup, Season 5, I think.
It was a lovely old lineup. I know Aisling Bea very well. I know Mark Watson very well. But I'd never really met Sally or Bob properly before. And so it was a real, and obviously for people of our age, Sally Phillips and Bob Mortimer are icons of comedy, you know, growing up with things like Smack the Pony and Shooting Stars and Alan Partridge. So I was pretty excited to meet them, and they were absolutely great. I mean, Bob Mortimer talking about how he has a high anus,
yeah,
and so has to reverse straddle the toilet.
That stands out as one of my favourite in-studio moments of Taskmaster ever, I think. Bob Mortimer's high anus. is a real classic moment.
The song that I did with Mark was obviously a highlight because it was one of the few things that we, either of us actually did well. It's like one of those things where you realise you've done something badly, but you're involved in something that is going to make people very happy. And that's how I feel about 95% of my contribution to Taskmaster. But certainly Basketball Gate.
Yes.
I recall with some fondness the task was that we had to put a basketball through a basketball hoop without touching it. And I sort of had a nervous breakdown and decided I was going to chip it.
But of course, in the edit within the studio, they decided to show it, only show your successful attempt as if you'd got it in first time. And obviously the roof came off. I couldn't believe it when I was watching it. It blew my mind because, you know, we should let the listener know. Me and Nish are good friends. We've been good friends for a very long time. So I know what Nish is like. I think Taskmaster was quite surprising for some people because your public-facing persona is that of a very intelligent man. You deal in satire. Your highbrow humour is very much your calling card, whereas I know you as an absolute mess. So Taskmaster very much revealed...
I contain multitudes, Ed.
Yes. So when you chipped that basketball in for seemingly the first time, I couldn't believe it. I was off my sofa. I was screaming at the top of my voice. I was like, this is it. Nish has finally come through.
Done something
this is incredible.
Well.
Yeah. And then the absolute genius revealed. How did they do that in the studio? Because you obviously reacted in the studio like you'd done it first time. You were off your feet, arms aloft.
They basically, because obviously they do operate with quite a serious amount of secrecy, especially in terms of what they're about to show. But they sort of forewarned me, like, we've done something with the basketball clip. You'll like it. Don't worry. Don't worry. You'll enjoy it. And so obviously when that happened, you sort of, you absolutely know you're not getting away with it. There are some tasks, and you'll know this, there are some tasks that you forget that you've done.
Yeah.
Because you do so many in sort of such a concentrated stretch of time. And especially because you do them over a whole day. So sometimes the tasks you do at like 5 p.m, I just erased all of those mentally from my mind. So sometimes it can be quite a sort of out of body experience watching yourself do something that you have no memory of. But the basketball one, I remembered that. Let's just put it this way. I remembered doing that and I remembered the issues around it. And so they were like, oh, we've done something fun with it. And then as soon as I saw the chip, you go, I don't think I'm getting away with this. But for the second that I am getting away with it, I plan on enjoying it to the absolute maximum.
It's very telling that you loved that so much and you enjoyed feeling victorious, even though you knew deep down that you hadn't done that well.
Yeah, it's a perfect metaphor for my whole life.
I know I've got none of these moments actually coming, so I'm going to grab this fake one with both hands.
Well, looks like last in PE, first in being a legend.
A lot of the TM nerds out there, quite a few of them have done like tables ranking contestants best to last in terms of points.
I've seen the tables.
Variable adjustables for things throughout the series, different lengths of episodes, different amount of episodes, etc. rather. And you pretty much come bottom three every single time, I'd say.
First in fun, last in actual achievement.
Well, no one is yet to have done a spreadsheet of fun, but I'm sure
If any show's fan base is going to make a spreadsheet of fun, it's this show.
I
know the Taskmaster audience. If any show's audience, I'm actually amazed they haven't done it already.
But I also think because, I mean, you took those losses and those screw-ups in your stride and you clearly loved every moment, which is great. You weren't frustrated by the fact you weren't doing well in some of the tasks. And also it makes your victories all the more sweet. So obviously there's the song with Mark, which has gone down in the Taskmaster Hall of Fame. But I would argue my favourite moment of yours, and I think the proudest I've ever been of you on anything. And look, you've got your own TV show on the BBC, you've got your own app-based satire show, yet the proudest I've ever been of you is Coconut Businessman. The reveal of you stepping out with the little coconut head. I was like, yeah, this is it. This is probably going to be the highlight of Nish's career. I think it's a shame that we didn't see more from the Coconut Businessman in the years after Taskmaster. I was hoping for a sitcom at least. Or not even a sitcom, like a drama. What? I want like a proper drama, like a business-based HBO drama with the Coconut Businessman. Maybe, fingers crossed, he can just turn up in the next series of Succession.
Fuck off. Fuck off, Coconut Man. Fuck off.
So, Nish, let's crack on, because we're here to talk about Taskmaster Series 10. You have seen the first episode, I know that. You've caught
up
with
the first two
episodes. So we are going to talk about episode 2. I actually think, I mean, generally, I think this series has established itself episode 1. I think, bang, that set the stall out very quickly, and now we're really rolling with episode 2.
Let me say this for the contestants. And I mean this both as a compliment and an insult. I would have fit in very well on this series.
I agree.
Make of that what you will.
You know what, Nish? I think on this series, you would have been solid mid-table.
It's not just the fact that they're all terrible. It's the fact that they're all having such a good time.
Yeah.
And are always seemingly on the verge of, like, tears of laughter. Like, Daisy May Cooper is always 30 seconds away from a full,
yeah,
like, crying with laughter fit.
Even though they're hysterical, it's not helped them out in the prize task, because yet again, 2 weeks in a row, I mean, we had Alex on last week, he said it was really funny to kick off the whole series with a terrible attempt at the prize task. They've doubled up. So the prize task is the best thing with holes in it. And I mean, pretty much across the board, apart from the winner in this task, I think we had another awful set of prizes.
Absolutely awful. Heinous.
Did you enjoy doing the prize tasks, Nish? Because I've personally found them very stressful.
I found the prize task... The thing is, Ed, I didn't really... And this is my approach to the whole thing. I didn't really overthink it. I just had an idea,
no,
and I executed
that.
The idea. The prize tasks are weirdly difficult because you don't want to think too far outside the box.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to do what's happened so far in the first two episodes and think absolutely bang in the middle of the box. These ideas could not be more within the box that they're having. You hear holes, you think a crumpet.
Yeah. So in the box. I had a prize task rejected because... Sorry, Ed, you can't bring that in. It's offensive and you've got to think about the victims.
What was it?
So the prize task category was best defunct thing. And I brought a collection of Kevin Spacey films on Laserdisc. And I just went ahead and bought them, by the way.
So you've just got some...
Yeah, yeah.
You've just got the usual suspects and K-packs.
Yeah, I've just got them upstairs. So, yes, more food-related stuff in there. Was it crumpets from Daisy, wasn't it?
Can I also just say, Greg just said that he had a new way of buttering crumpets and then just described how you butter anything.
Yes, we should talk about Greg's revolutionary butter system. Now, we don't often drill into things the Taskmaster says on this, but I think we should. So Greg's revolutionary butter system is... I can see why he thinks it's revolutionary. You take a lump of cold butter and you sort of massage it across the crumpet, and therefore you only melt as much as you need, and then you put that butter back in the fridge. But that is essentially buttering something and taking off the bit you don't need, right?
It's like somebody saying, right, I've developed this really amazing way to get places quickly. You know, if you walk, Imagine if the momentum that carried your limbs forward was increased exponentially depending on how quickly you wanted to go.
So again, Richard didn't up his effort after last week, and neither did Daisy. And again, Richard really showing his shark eyes and aggressively going after everyone else's prize tasks.
Yeah, he's really, he's in it to win it.
Old Dickie Herring has come to win. He has been clamouring to get on this show for so long, and now he's here. He is not letting go.
Mawan's rabbit was, I mean...
absolutely
horrifying. It's like something out of the end of Watership Down.
Yeah, Mawan's rabbit, horrifying, but I think a clear winner in this case. I think he was the only one who'd thought outside the box. It's something that he'd made. It was clearly from his life, as opposed to Honeycomb from Richard, Crumpet from Daisy, as discussed, Teabag from Johnny, and Catherine's husband's dirty tights.
Heartbreaking stuff from Johnny about how the PG Tips adverts affected his career.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you'd sold it harder, the Teabag would have done better.
Mate, I did 5 years doing that. Now no director will come near me.
So we come to the first task of episode two, which is the first team task. Nish, you were obviously on a team with Mark Watson. Did you enjoy the team tasks?
Yeah, I love the team tasks. I mean, they were rare examples of my of successful efforts on the show for me. But also, it is genuinely a fun surprise when, because that was my last filming day in the house.
Yeah.
So I had sort of assumed that they just weren't doing team tasks. Also, because they don't tell you anything. But it's so shrouded in secrecy that I had assumed that basically they weren't doing team tasks this series. And also, we took the, because they tell you to not communicate with other guests, especially if they know your friends. So they tell you not to communicate with other contestants. So I really hadn't talked to Aisling about it or Mark about it. We'd taken it all very seriously. So I just assumed that we weren't doing the team task. So when Mark Watson appeared, it was a genuinely delightful surprise. Like it was really fun. The team task is a really, really fun day.
That's an interesting little tidbit for behind the scenes for people interested in that sort of minutiae. In the dressing room in the Taskmaster house, there is a sign which tells you the rules of being a Taskmaster contestant. And there aren't many, but one of them is do not discuss what you're doing with anybody else on the lineup.
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid rule. And also when you do the team tasks, I don't know how they did it with you, Nish. They really keep it secret. But you know something's going on because your day is a little different. So for me, certainly, normally what you'd do is they'd get you a car and take you to the Taskmaster house or take you to the location if you're filming on a different location. But on that day, I got taken to a cafe nearby the Taskmaster house to sit with Andy, the producer Andy. But he wouldn't say anything. So I'm going, oh, it's team day, right? I can imagine with another Taskmaster contestant who's not obsessed with the show Taskmaster, they might be a bit more confused and in the dark. But I was going, it's team day, right? It's team day. We're doing team day today. It's team. I can't wait for team day. So they really do shroud it in secrecy. And then
I was the other end of that. I was the other end of that where I just got taken to the house. And so I just thought it was a normal day.
Yes. That's more exciting, I can imagine. It was good for me. I loved doing the team tasks, especially the team I was with. I was with Katie Wicks and Rose Matafeo. And it was just reassuring for me, certainly in the case of seeing Rose Matafeo do Taskmaster, knowing that I wasn't as competitive as I thought I was, because at least Rose was there.
It was a real source of concern for myself and your fiancé. Going into it, you know, Rose and Ed are, you're not just two of my friends, you're two of my former housemates. The Gamble versus Matafeo axis, because you are both fairly competitive. I think that is a polite way of describing both of your personalities.
Yeah.
And so it was a real source of concern. She was like, oh, this could end badly for our social group.
Yeah, absolutely love it. But so this
I've done escape rooms with you both when you're supposed to be on the same team.
Well, exactly. I was gonna mention escape rooms because this first team task in series 10 is a treasure hunt, and it had an escape room vibe. And I think this is something that certainly myself and Rose, if we were in a team doing this, would have absolutely loved. I suspect you might have hated this, Nish, or you wouldn't have enjoyed it in the same way.
You know what I would have loved, Ed? I'd love to sit in an umpire chair and making some noises.
That, I mean, I really see you doing that. I mean, I don't think you would have done it in the same way as Johnny.
The man's first instinct when asked to make a noise was to impersonate Richard Nixon.
There is no one else in the world who, if you ask them to make a noise, that's the first thing they do.
Not even Richard Nixon!
It's incredible. The fact that, I mean, it's not even a noise. It's a sentence, isn't it? So, you know, everyone else, I think, would go, ha-ha, or, you know, a fart or something like that. Just go, root one, noise. And he went with a Richard Nixon quote. That's where he started.
I am not a crook. I am not a crook.
All right.
I am not a crook.
In fact, I'd go as far as to say none of the noises he did were ones that I would have thought of. Where there would have been no overlap.
You wouldn't have thought of impersonating a fax machine, Ed?
No, it's not my go-to dish, weirdly. I really like the way they've handled the social distancing, because obviously then you had Moana and Catherine having to get on with the treasure hunt, and to sideline Johnny, put him up an umpire's chair and make him make different noises, I think was very entertaining and only something that you could see on Taskmaster.
Yeah, that was such an elegant solution to not being able to have three of them within 2 metres of each other.
Yes.
And I'm sort of looking forward to see how they get round that in the rest of the team tasks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really... It did take me a second because I was like... Why are they all standing so far apart? Yeah. Oh, everything that's happening.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I was very surprised to find out that Daisy and Richard filmed before social distancing, because when Richard walks into the room that Daisy was in, she moved away from him so quickly. I assumed I went, oh, she's just being socially responsible. That's social distancing. Nope, it was before coronavirus.
I am really glad Greg drew attention to it in the room as well, because it was the reaction of a woman to seeing Richard Herring enter a room was to leap backwards and scream.
But even when, like, I could see why that initial shock of, oh, there's someone else in the Taskmaster house with me, because you're so adjusted to the fact it's just you doing
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even maybe 3 or 4 seconds after that, when she should have relaxed, she was still backed into a corner looking at Richard like he was an alien. But a really fun task, I think. I think Moan summed it up when he found the key in the candle and said, that's some next level shit. It's exactly the sort
really
of thing...
Really good.
It's exactly the sort of thing that I'm into as well. I love escape rooms and I love things being hidden in other things.
They've also got a really nice way of building the right teams and picking people that will go well together, because they were both very good.
They actually were. I would say, they seem on a par, these teams, I think. Certainly, I mean, Alex made fun of me for this last week. I always have to go back to my series, but our teams were slightly less balanced. We had Joe and David were on a team together, and the difference between the way we approached things was amazing. They would stop and, you know, go to the toilet halfway through tasks and things like that, and make a cup of tea and make themselves sandwiches and stuff. But both of these teams, actually, for the first time in this series, I thought they actually might be quite competent.
They were both very sort of effective. I mean, sure, we are talking about their efficiency. At one point, Richard Herring did just go, maybe there's some bacon here. Somehow I've got Francis Bacon in his head, and he just went off and looked for bacon.
To be fair, but that's what Taskmaster does to you sometimes. You panic, because what if then you're in a situation where, you know, you find out you're in the studio, and then, like, they do that awful thing where they're like, well, let's just have a look in the fridge, and they zoom in, and the answer was in the back of bacon all along. So... It's always best to check the bacon, but you will look like an idiot if bacon's got nothing to do with it. So I think it was scored very fairly as well. I kind of feel like, personally, I know Johnny didn't get louder and louder, but I felt like he deserved 5 for the breadth of the noises.
Yeah, I thought he was the only one who could have felt hard done by, because I feel like he should have given him 5 points. For the innovation of opening with I'm not a crook.
Oh yeah, it was perfect. So we move on to task two, which is a Taskmaster portrait task. Always a terrifying prospect, having to do a portrait of the Taskmaster, because you know these are the ones he's really going to judge quite angrily because it's his own face. So in this case, they had to make a portrait of the Taskmaster using balloons. They had to fill up the frame, which one person forgot about. We'll come to that shortly. Any art task panicked me beyond belief.
Yeah, I can't draw. So, I was always at a disadvantage in these things.
But balloons, I think, is incredibly hard because you're working with a famously temperamental medium.
Well, not if you adopt the Parkinson approach and simply don't inflate them.
Well, this is Catherine's rapidly becoming one of my favourite contestants ever, I think, because she's constantly on the verge of a breakdown. She spent ages not inflating the balloons at all, even though surely that's route one with a balloon, first thing you do. And then she was holding the balloon pump and her first thought was that it was some cream.
Where's she getting her cream from? It's like someone's weaponized cream.
Now, obviously, Richard, we know Richard pretty well, and we knew what he was going to do as soon as there was a long balloon.
Penis.
Could not resist the inflating
man loves
that balloon.
Penises.
The man's done shows about penises. He loves a penis. He thinks it's hilarious. He's correct. I would have done a penis as well, to be fair. Very tricky, I think. But we got to see Johnny's artistic nature shine through.
It was one of those things in Taskmaster where occasionally you just see Greg go, well, that is just impressive. That is just genuinely quite impressive. And you can tell there's a hint of disappointment in his eyes.
Yeah.
Because he's really there to rag on people. But you could genuinely tell that he was legitimately very impressed. It was really good. It was really good, considering he had his canvas was some grass and his paints were old balloons. He really made something that was recognizably Greg.
Certainly as a competitor in Taskmaster, I always got a little bit annoyed, probably unnecessarily, when people already have skills in things. So There's been loads of people who've had artistic skills. So Katie Wicks in my series, Johnny in this series, obviously, Joe Lycett, Noel Fielding have all have sort of basis in art. But then they use those skills, and I feel like that's cheating, Nish.
Yes, unfortunately, there was no task in my series that was remembering Bob Dylan albums.
Or being angry at the government in the most loud way.
Why were my skills not utilised?
But, I mean, Mwan made the crucial error of not reading the task properly. He did not fill the frame, and also he drew on the balloon, which wasn't specifically forbidden, but it didn't feel like it was in the spirit of the task. I felt like then he was using balloons and pen.
Yeah, it's interesting that he never got to that stage of the judgment process because it had already been dismissed outright. We never got to actually find out whether Greg would have marked him down for it. It was, in his defense, absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was so small. It was so small.
And especially given he completely understood the task, because as soon as he read it out, he said, oh, it's like Art Attack. Now, so he's seen Art Attack. At no point in Art Attack do they cut to the above shot and you can't see anything. At no point is the Art Attack itself
zoom.
Yeah, smaller than Neil Buchanan. So so Johnny, clear winner in this case, I think.
Clear winner.
I felt like Daisy was hard done by because at least it was big and it looked like a face. It sort of looks fine. It looked as much like Greg as Richard's did.
Yes, it did. But I think she got marked down for, if there's one thing you have to say about Greg, it's that he's got a long old body.
Yeah, sure.
And I think where she maybe got marked down was she gave him a massive head. Sure.
Yeah.
The guy's got a big old bonce.
Yeah.
But he's also rocking a long bod.
He is rocking a long bod.
And I think maybe she got marked down for proportions.
But I think it's still harsh. She got 1 point and Mwan got 2. I feel like Mwan should have got 1 as well, just because it was so tiny. Yeah. And I think maybe bump Daisy up to 2 with Richard. Because
I would agree with that, yeah.
The only reason Richard got 2 points is because he was complimentary with the old Wang.
He was, yes, he giveth and he taketh away with the Wang, Ed.
Because whilst it was length good, but obviously girth and bend, not ideal.
You have to assume that it was, that he was also depicting the Taskmaster flaccid, because, you know, this isn't France. We can't have balloon-based erections just on Channel 4. This isn't Channel 4 in the 90s.
Are you suggesting that there was a discussion with the channel as to whether the balloon was erect or flaccid?
I think there was a serious discussion. It's an angle. You can't hit an angle. And so I think what the case that they would have made is, it's flaccid, it's just an absolute nightmare.
The case I would make, though, is as soon as you put air into a balloon, it becomes an erect balloon.
Which is why Catherine's method in retrospect was genius.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The whole body was flaccid in Catherine's effort. She wasn't going to fill those with cream. Okay, right. And now we're quite lucky, Nish. We've got a new regular feature on the podcast. We're going to hear from Alex Horn, the Taskmaster's assistant, in our new section, BFF. Every week, the Taskmaster's assistant will be giving us a fact from behind the scenes of the week's episode. So let's have our first one today. This is Alex Horn with BFF.
Hello there. My name is Little Alex Horn, and I am your new BFF, Bonus Fact Finder. And today's bonus fact comes as a result of the balloon portrait task. By the end of that task, there have now been 15 portraits of the mighty Taskmaster created by contestants. There have also been 13 specially commissioned portraits of the man. That is for the artwork for the front of the house, for the main room, and for the back of the studio. Around the house, there are also 12 photos of the Taskmaster dotted around. So in total, that's 40 pictures of the greatest man alive. Goodbye.
And now the final pre-recorded task of the show. Balls in hoop boat. That's the sort of general note. Those are the points we've got to hit. Very difficult to sum this task up. So obviously, this is one of the location tasks. It's not in the Taskmaster house. It's in a huge room. They're in a dinghy with wheels, and they had to get large exercise balls, Swiss balls, into some hula hoops while they're in a boat on wheels. They're not allowed to get out of the boat, Nish. They're not allowed to move the hoops. That was very specific.
Yeah.
This is a task that I would have liked to have seen you do. Because you are chaos, I think you would have struggled with it. I would have heard my favourite Nish Kumar noise, which is... Rah! There would have been a lot of that, I feel.
I would normally agree with you. The only reason that I would say I might have done better with it is, as we were watching it, I was like, you got to just roll them down the end and then do the sort of admin of gathering them together, which is what Daisy was absolutely amazing at this.
Yeah, she was incredible.
And so the only reason I think I might have done better is I had my initial instinct was, I think you've got to roll the balls down and then worry about kind of gathering them together.
Yeah.
While they're closer to the actual hoops.
Because otherwise you are expending a lot of cardio energy trying to get the one. If you get one ball, take it down, put it in, and then go all the way back again, it looked like really hard work getting that boat moving. I think Catherine, I think, found the best way of hanging one leg out of it and pushing herself along.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, in terms of moving the boat, settled into a system apart from Johnny Vegas, who
he looked like he was in like a sort of Lars von Trier version of The Old Man and the Sea. Like, it was harrowing at points.
There it is. As you know, regular listener of the podcast will know that we like to name drop Lars von Trier every episode. From now on, that's the first one, but we'll be doing it every episode.
When you start watching the task, you immediately go, when you see the boat and you see the balls of the hoops, you immediately go, this is a classic. This is classic Taskmaster.
Yeah, it really is.
Johnny Vegas stood up doing a sort of semi-body roll, trying to maneuver the boat after having already given up on just waving the paddles at the air. That's one of the highlights.
It was the thrust for me. It was the cut to the thrust of just like little hip thrusts to try and move the boat.
Oh God!
It was pretty incredible. I would have tried something tricksy and I might have risked it of trying to mess with the definitions of what staying in the boat was, and I'd try and hold it on my back and just run around with my feet on the floor. I suspect I would have been punished, especially as the Taskmaster is clearly being stricter on this series. But I mean, I still think Daisy might have beat me if I did that. It was an incredible performance.
Was incredible.
And let's not forget, she was pregnant.
I feel like we're almost not making... It's almost not being referenced enough that she's doing all this stuff pregnant. I did really enjoy Alex saying, we were a bit worried about this task. It is, like, everything that she's doing, it is pretty incredible that she's doing it whilst pregnant. But this task particularly, you know, I don't even know. I wouldn't like to sit in that boat after having had a heavy lunch.
No, exactly.
Much less being with child.
Yeah, she did an amazing job. She did an amazing job, full stop. And the fact she was pregnant on top of that was pretty incredible. Yeah. Whereas Richard couldn't even do the task without his ass hanging out.
Listen, let he who has not shown his ass on Taskmaster cast the first anus stone. That was Arsemaster. I call it Arsemaster because every series you're going to see an ass.
He knew it was happening. He referred to his ass as his old fella.
Now, let's talk about Mwan, because it's been a really tricky episode for Mwan. I feel sorry for him because it started so well with the prize task. And then the balloon task was a bit of an issue for him. He didn't read it properly. He ended up with a tiny portrait. And here he really misread the rules. Misreading the rules isn't fair. He read the rules and then just decided to forget the rules.
Like, so much of the pleasure of the show is in the way that they construct those VTs and, like, the way that they produce them and make them... Because they're not, you know, they're not, like, cutting it in a way that doesn't reflect what you did. But what they are doing is highlighting your failure in such a specific way and having him walk off and just playing in him reading the rules over and over again was a lovely touch.
I mean, it is incredible. I mean, it's one of those things. I think I had one episode like that where seemingly all of the ones I knew I'd done badly on or messed up were all in the same episode, because it's kind of random. They're not doing it on purpose to screw someone over. It just works out like that. So, you know, Mwan's had one where a couple of them haven't gone well for him. I had an episode where, you know, all of the tasks didn't really go my way, and you had the entire series. It was just an unfortunate way edited together that all your tasks were terrible.
I had one episode where I was doing well for the first two tasks, I think.
Yeah.
And then really screwed one up. And I knew it as soon as they played it. It was one of those, you can see on the VT that it's like late in the evening, and I was clearly just quite tired. And so I just pretended to fill in a Sudoku.
this was the task that led Greg to take you aside and have a word with you, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're not
which
a bad guy.
One of my Taskmaster highlights from all the series was you being taken aside and having a stern talking to, a technique he then employed with James Acaster, and I don't believe he's had to use since. So we know things have gone really badly if he uses that.
He's only told me and Acaster off.
Yeah.
There's a great shot of him because he takes you off to the side of the stage, which is not lit because you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And so it looks like a still from The Godfather. Like, because the shadow is sort of falling across his face in such a scene. And also, it's like, when he was doing it, again, there isn't a lot of contrivance with Taskmaster. So when he stood up, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And when he beckons you over, you're like, I don't know what's about to happen. Like, he might be about to kill me.
Yeah, because, look, he's a lovely guy, Greg. He's a very dear friend of mine, but he is still really scary.
Oh, I love him. I love him. But when he's taking you off to the side, you're like, he could strike me down with a single blow.
And also a talented actor, so if he decides he's going to make it look like he's angry, it's really scary. It's real scary.
What is it? Is it self-sabotage? Do you want this or not?
I just thought it would be great.
Yeah, you were doing well in this one for the first time.
But I thought it would be really impressive if I did a whole Sudoku.
Yeah, but we've checked it and you weren't even doing the Sudoku properly.
No.
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Give it a go. Really have a go at the show. You're not a bad guy, Nick.
Another classic Taskmaster Studio task. What's making what noise when it's bashed against what? everyone did pretty well there. Richard and Daisy got joint first. Richard was first in last week's episode and in the studio task, so he's sort of showing himself again as a bit of a competitor. Just gets on with it. There's no messing around from Richard. Daisy, of course, did very well in that task as well. But in terms of the episode, it was a tiebreak between Catherine and Richard for first place. So Richard approaching a victory again. We've got some tiebreak facts, Nish, because
yes,
tiebreaks aren't often utilised in Taskmaster, but they have been in the past. There have been 14 tiebreaks across all the series of Taskmaster. There have been 2 3-way ties in the past, Nish. Series 2 and 3 had no tiebreaks. In your series, there were 2 tiebreaks. You'll be surprised to learn that you were never in the running to win an episode, even with a tiebreak.
And let me tell you something. I was incredibly relieved, because if you thought I was bad at the tasks, you should have seen me on the tiebreaks.
Interesting, because I don't remember the specifics of all the tiebreaks. I know that episode 4 of your series was Aisling versus Mark, and it was throwing a Swede in a bin. And episode 6 was Bob versus Sally kicking a yogurt. So
yeah, you should have seen what I did to that yogurt, my friend. The yogurt absolutely exploded. It didn't get anywhere near the hoop. I don't even think a drop of it went. I struck it, and as I struck it, because that was another one in my mind where I was like, and as the yogurt tiebreak started, I was like, thank God, because I knew that I had messed that up so badly. I kicked the yogurt and it just exploded everywhere.
Amazing.
It didn't get off the ground.
It's incredible to think that, because you film, I think, maybe 5 or 6 tie breaks. And a lot of them are just destined to never be seen. Interesting fact, we filmed a lot of tie breaks, and one of our tie breaks became an actual task. So the lasso task, which was lasso Alex, was a tiebreak, and I was told it was going to be a tiebreak, and it ended up being a proper task, and I couldn't understand why. So they showed me doing the lasso, and I didn't do that well with it. And I said to Alex, I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a tiebreak in the commercial break, and he went, oh, you'll see why it had to be an actual task. And obviously then I assumed, well, David's messed it up, hasn't he? And then, of course, the legendary David Baddiel tying wooden spoons to the lasso to try and increase the weight of it. And our series actually ended on a tiebreak. It was the biggest anticlimax you possibly could have had. The final episode was me versus Rose with the tiebreak of choosing a condiment to keep a pop-up toy down the longest. Rose's lasted about 15 seconds and mine was sat there for an hour and a half. And I'm happy to reveal that after the episode, Rose was like, well, how did they decide what tiebreak it was? They picked one that they knew you'd won at? Why did they do that? And then the producer said, well, just to let you know, Rose, Ed beat you in every single tiebreak. Boom.
And the important thing is that Rose and Ed are not competitive, guys, okay? So if listeners of this podcast take nothing away, it's that neither of them were bothered about the result, okay?
So Catherine won the tiebreak and won the episode. That's Catherine's first
Some
victory,
of the worst
course.
Prizes anyone has ever walked away with. A crumpet, a tea bag.
I mean, she's got a good breakfast there.
Yeah, which she can have with Bugs Bunny's Myxomatosis adult cousin.
Before we crack on with the listener emails, Nish, having seen the first two episodes, do you have any predictions for the victor of the series?
Well, I thought at the start, because of what I know of Richard, which is quite a lot, I felt that he would do well because I feel like it really matters to him. But I have to say, I feel like Parkinson is a dark horse. She's getting it done in a sort of in amongst the breakdown. I feel like Moan and Daisy have a flavour of the Kumar about them. both insofar as in the way that they're executing their tasks, but also the fact that Daisy is almost always on the verge of tears of laughter, and the fact that Moan is already coining a lot of really, you know, really interesting phrases. Because
yes,
that was some next level shit, man.
Well, that was one of two this episode that I think will live with him for a long time. Next level shit, man, will be in there. But I think even worse than that, he's back will haunt him forever.
He's back.
Straight after he'd completely messed up the boat task. I think the difference between you and Moan, I think he thinks he's better than he's ended up being.
Oh, but also the other difference between me and Moan is he definitely has hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, sure.
So he's definitely, you know, a significant leg and indeed a couple of other limbs up on me. It's very close to call. Like, because as much as I think, like, you know, there's a lot of people just getting it done. The thing about Johnny, Moan and Daisy is that they're mavericks and you know, a couple of like big wins in a couple of big tasks and they could do it. It's all very evenly poised. You've got three loose cannons and three tight guns.
You heard it here first. Three loose cannons and two tight guns. Nish, your prediction then, if you were really nailed down and you had to say a name?
If I had to say a name, I would say I'm gunning for Parkinson. I think it's going to be a Catherine Parkinson victory.
A Catherine Parkinson victory, according to Nish Kumar. Chalk it up. We're going to get predictions across the series. We're going to see who came out on top. But now, Nish, we've had lots of lovely emails from the listeners. Of course, if you want to get your questions into the Taskmaster podcast, email us on taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. Nish, your song for Rosalind with Mark is probably my favourite Taskmaster moment ever, but who did the heavy lifting in the songwriting, or was it a genuine Lennon-McCartney moment? That's from Rianne.
It was a genuine back and forth. I think if I was trying to work out, I would say Mark probably wrote more of the lyrics and I wrote more of the melody.
Yeah.
But it was a genuine 50-50 collaboration.
It's lovely to see you play guitar as well, Nish, because we used to be in a sketch group together at university and used to play guitar for our very humorous songs. but then I never used to see you play guitar when we lived in a flat together. You'd always do it in your room away from prying eyes, your little private guitar moments.
I've really spent a lot of my life fighting the inevitable descent into being the man who gets a guitar out. So I really go through great pains to not play in public. When the task was laid out in front of me, Watson said, "What's your musical chops?" And I was like, "One of the Andes, fetch me a guitar."
Don't care which Andy, just get me a guitar.
Don't care which Andy, one of you's producer, one of you's director, you're both called Andy, get me an axe.
Oh yeah. I saw you translate a poem from Japanese. It looked so tricky, but you did it with ease. I saw you judging long jump at the athletics. I felt so low, cause it's boredom, I'm just pathetic. I'm always seeing you do cool stuff. I try my best, but it's never good enough.
This is from Natalie. Hello. Which tasks from other series, or just singular task, do you wish you could have done, and which are you glad you didn't have to do?
I think in terms of, I'm not sure that there's ever a task that's been on the show that I've thought, if only.
Yeah.
Based on my general competence level, I'm not sure that there's a task that I thought, oh yeah, I'd have absolutely nailed that. I wouldn't have minded trying to impress the mayor.
Yeah.
I think that would have been...
Do you know what you would have done?
Yeah, but I fear that I would have done something like just got completely nude immediately.
I was going to say that's probably what you would have done.
I think I would have done something like that. I think I'd have liked to have a crack at that just because I think it's very fun. The task that I'm glad that I didn't do is, I think it's the very first task in the very first episode.
Yeah.
Where it's the watermelon task.
Yes, yeah.
And the reason I'm glad that I didn't do that is because when I watched it and Ramesh picked the watermelon up and just smashed it on the floor and stuff, I thought that's exactly what I would have done.
Yeah.
And then he was sick on the floor. That's why I'm glad I didn't do that task.
Well, that's how you eat all your food, isn't it? Smashes it on
the
floor.
It's a nightmare with soup. Absolute nightmare. My kitchen's covered in Covent Garden, let me tell you.
Oh, show off. This is from Fiona in New Zealand. Dear Ed and Nish, please explain your thinking process for a task. Do you rush in and go with first instincts? Do you make a plan? Even with answering the question, Nish has rushed in with first instincts. You don't make a plan. You don't try a few options. You go for funny over winning. That is that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Whether you go for funny over winning. But you think your first instincts, Nish.
Yeah, I was always the worst thing you could do in these situations is overthink them. And obviously the tasks that I did well on were the ones where I was forced by the strictures of the show to take a second over it. So, I mean, with writing the song, you had to take a bit of time over it. With the thing where I ate the flick book where I ate the cat, that was another one where it was like by the very nature of it, you know, they're going to make those like stop motion animation things.
Yeah.
You have to take a second to think about it.
And they give you they give you 20 minutes or they give you an hour to prepare it. It's within the task. So you have to then go and sit in the dressing room or sit down and really think about it. They leave you alone to come up with it.
That definitely helped me because I think when I wasn't encouraged to do that, I did just do the first thing I thought. Yeah.
I think I thought about them a little bit more, maybe. But obviously there are tasks where it's literally like, you've got to do this, go. And then you've just got to go with your first instincts. And in terms of funny over winning, I think naturally, if I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it well, I would do it in the most chaotic, ridiculous way possible and try and... It's like, well, I'm not going to get points. Let's get some laughs.
One of the things that you're told quite early on is like, don't think too much about being funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is possibly a bit inside baseball, but like in the like briefing chat that you have with Alex, like before the series starts, he does say like, we've sort of designed this, that you just doing the task is going to be funny. And so don't think too much about being funny within the context of the task. So I was always trying to entertain myself. So, like, I basically decided quite early on that I was going to refer to Horn as horny.
Yeah.
And basically going to say that as soon as I walked into the room, because I thought, well, that'll be funny and entertaining. And I was always trying to be, like, fun with Alex. But in terms of the actual tasks, I think a lot of it, I was just trying to play them out. And the problem is that sometimes things that look like you were trying to do them as a joke, people go, you must have been trying to be funny. And you go, yeah, tell me about it. I was. But in the back of your mind, you go, nope. I just got stuck on an idea and I became obsessed with kicking the basketball.
Nish, thank you so much for coming on the Taskmaster podcast. Oh, I should also say that we had an email from Cam. I jokingly suggested that you could send pictures of Greg and Alex kissing to our email address. And he has indeed sent a drawing of Greg and Alex kissing that I will tweet out at some point. It is fiercely erotic. As always, we're going to ask you now to rate your experience on the Taskmaster podcast 1 to 5 points.
5 points.
Yes. Nish, thank you so much for coming onto the Taskmaster podcast. Bye, mate.
Goodbye.
Well, there we are. Another fun episode of the Taskmaster podcast. Thanks again to Nish for being a brilliant guest. And thanks for all the exciting behind-the-scenes revelations from Alex, of course. Alex will be back next week with another BFF. And we will have another special guest who I will tell you about momentarily. But we should probably just say the series points now. It's quite exciting. It's very tight. I know it's only been 2 episodes, right? But you can already see that they're kind of on a par with each other. I don't know what that par is, but they're on a par with each other. I think in some series, it's been obvious even after 2 that there's some people who are better than others. I'm thinking specifically, actually, of Series 8, where Lou was clearly a bit of a winner from the outset. But I can tell you that it's much closer than that in this series. Richard is in the lead with 31 points. Daisy, very close behind with 29 points. And then Johnny's got 25. Catherine's also got 25. And Mwan's got 24. So it really is all to play for. It's pretty gripping. We'll be keeping an eye on that. We'll be getting people's predictions as the series goes through, but I've got a feeling it's going to be an exciting one. Now, obviously, we will be back next week with another special guest. Again, I'm going to tell you who the special guest is in a moment once I've done some classic outro admin. Please send your questions in for the show. It's taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. If you love Taskmaster and you can't get enough of it, make sure you check out the YouTube channel. What, you call yourself a Taskmaster fan? You've not been on the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Taskmaster. Yes, there are outtakes. The show's recordings go on for hours. There is so much funny stuff they can't get into the main broadcast at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. So the YouTube channel has those outtakes. YouTube.com/Taskmaster. A very rude one from episode 1, the egg task, where people were in tears of laughter. And it really fills in a lot of those little gaps where you think, why are they weeping so much? What's happened immediately before that that's been cut out? The YouTube channel is where you need to go to check that out. Also, about time we started buying some Christmas gifts. For all your Christmas gift needs, go to taskmasterstore.com. There's some great merch there, including some masks. Very modern, very cutting edge, very now. Some Mask Masters. Go get them. But just leaves me to announce next week's special guest, who will be Series 9 alumni, Joe Brand. So excited to have Joe Brand on the Taskmaster podcast. I sat next to her in the studio. What a treat she is. And I'm very excited to have her on, chatting about her time on Taskmaster. The art of not caring. She is an artist of not caring about Taskmaster. She simultaneously threw herself into it and also kept a hilarious distance from caring about any of it. So I can't wait to ask her about all of that, her favourite tasks, all of that sort of thing. And also, of course, we'll be going through episode 3 of Taskmaster Series 10. So to get your questions into Joe Brand, please email us, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. That's taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you next week. The episode will be out straight after the main broadcast. Check out the show, 9 p.m. Channel 4. And straight after that, hit up the potty, baby. But for now, thank you very much. Goodbye!